Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. And we are live on Hard Hits. It is Derek Felix here, Hard Hits Network. That's right, for the next little less than an hour of live action as we talk and congratulate the Villanova Wildcats. Job well done. They win and capture their third ever NCAA Division Men's 1 basketball tournament championship. Their second in 3 years under Jay Wright. And right now, if you live in Philadelphia, live in the city of Philadelphia, life is pretty good right now, especially if you're from Pennsylvania, actually, if you really think about it. Because, let's see, you got the Penguins who have won 2 Stanley Cups in a row, the first repeat winner since the Detroit Red Wings, and they're going to try to make it 3. They're going to try to go for 3. I don't know if they'll be able to get that done, but they're going for a 3-peat. I mean, that hasn't been done since the days of, yeah, I think the last team to do that with the Islanders. I don't even think the Oilers did it. But if you live in the city of Philadelphia, life is really great for you right now. You got the Eagles. First, the Eagles get it done. They deliver their first ever Super Bowl championship, beating the Patriots in a great game. On the arm of Nick Foles, the backup quarterback, Carson Wentz, you know, not able to play. And now we could add the Villanova Wildcats as one of the greatest college basketball programs right now in the country. They do it again, 79-62 over Michigan, a game that Michigan led 21-14, started off well, and with Wagner scoring 12-14 in the first half, but they did not finish the first half the way they needed to. They did not shoot the ball well from three. Simpson had a tough game, and Villanova took over. Well, really, one guy, Dante DiVincenzo, the sixth man who could probably start on a bunch of teams. I'm just going to call him the Italian microwave, like Vinny Johnson would be proud, because he scored a record, championship record, 31 points off the bench. It was their sixth man. He destroyed them. He scored, what did he score, 18 in the first half. Then he put up a 9 spot to basically put the game out of reach and put Villanova back up by 18. They just never looked back. Once they got that lead, and once they turned a 7-point deficit into a 9-point halftime lead, so that's a 16-point turnaround. And they also played really good defense, and they continued to make shots. DiVincenzo was doing everything. He was killing them. And finally, a little bit of a sighting from Mikal Bridges. I was waiting for Mikal Bridges to do something, and he got 19 in this game. Brunson got in foul trouble, and he was on the bench, and it didn't matter. He had 9 points, season low, and it didn't even matter. And Spellman did what he usually does. He didn't even put up a lot of points, but he's a really good player. And the Wildcats are the best team in the country again, because it's the best team in the land. And J. Wright just knows what he's doing, and kudos to them. 424-675-8226, you want to get on some sports talk as we wrap up, put a bow on the NCAA tournament. I want to get some kudos to Notre Dame women. Anyway, I guess they were the better story, if you think about it. Beating UConn the way they did and beating and winning again the way they did at the buzzer. All right, let's bring in our co-host. I know he's got an interesting take on this, Mr. John Giordorio. A big basketball guy yourself. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Mr. Felix?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. You know, just getting over a little anxiety stuff, which, you know, it happens. But I watched the game. It was a good distraction.
Nice.
I was a little disappointed in Michigan. They just couldn't make any shots in the second half, so it was very disappointing from them.
I see.
They had open shots, JPG. I mean, they had chances. Villanova, like, they were fiddling around for a little bit. They were up by 15. The door was open. Michigan got it down to 12 once. And Michigan missed a lot of threes. They missed some open shots. And
yeah,
they didn't take their chances, you know? I mean, what would have happened if they could have made one of those little runs, like a 9-2 run, and get it in single digits? The crowd would have got into it. Because, you know, they had a lot of supporters in San Antonio, but they never were able to make that run. And DiVincenzo, he's the engine that could. He was the difference in the game. But with that said, I guess what it really comes down to is Villanova is really good and it's really tough. You know, they could score. They don't always beat you with the same player, and they defend pretty well too. And Jay Wright's a pretty damn good coach. That's what it comes down to.
Really? Well, I noticed I was looking at the stats, and it seemed like they shot an awful lot of three-pointers.
They do that.
You were in favor of.
No. They do use the three. I mean, do you know that Villanova, I think, shot a record three-pointers this year, I think? They have a record, if I'm not mistaken.
They would have
been the kind of team
that you
would have embraced because they use the three. They have a very guard-oriented system, and they make the extra pass, though, too. That's one thing that I think gets, you know, we don't always look at that, but, you know, at one point in the first half, Villanova only had one assist, and Villanova's a really good passing team, and you know, maybe they didn't have as many assists as you would have thought tonight, but I'll tell you, Villanova is a damn good team. They spread you out, JPG. So I know you're not a big college guy, a basketball guy, but if you like three-pointer, if you like the way – if you like a team that has guards and can shoot the three and you know, push it up, then Villanova would be a team that you could watch because they execute it very well.
I just like watching winning basketball. I have no vendetta against the 3-point shot.
No, but you're not a college basketball guy though. I mean, I could try to get you into it, but you're more of a pro guy. I mean, I do understand that.
I don't know. I mean, you seem to have a lot of rage about the 3-point shot, but you also seem very happy about this Villanova victory.
I just think what it comes down to is sometimes it is a good shot. And sometimes, you know, it could be a bad shot. You know, like for Villanova, it was a great shot tonight. And they didn't shoot well at the beginning of the game. I think they were one for their first eight. If I'm not mistaken. They have a way, they set these screens, right? And
yeah.
These guys all have, like, great range, and DiVincenzo was knocking down shots from, like, he was knocking down shots from anywhere. Like, they may as well just push the college line back. These guys all have great range anyway. Make it international, and I mean, I don't know if it makes any difference, but they just executed. Yeah, I mean, Michigan shot 13%, JPG. I mean, I think they missed, like, I don't know how many threes they missed in a row, John, but it was really bad. They had, like, a span where they could not make a three. It was really bad. And if you can't, like, come close to matching Villanova from three, yeah, you're going to be in trouble because that's something they do really well. Kansas couldn't do it. They got blown out. Michigan didn't get blown out. I give Michigan credit for not getting blown out. They didn't, like, quit. They just couldn't make enough, you know? So they also got out-rebounded. You really want to know the difference, one of the differences in this game, aside from the three-point shot?
What?
Michigan speed. I mean, not Michigan speed. The speed difference. Villanova had much better speed. And, like, they exploited it. They were able to exploit it against, like, Michigan, especially the big guy, Wagner, and they tired him out completely. So that was one of the big things that I noticed. They just, like, you like that little ball. You like little ball, and we're seeing more of it.
I don't necessarily like little ball. I recognize what a winning strategy is. Yeah.
No, it's a winning strategy. It works. I mean, they're able to, like, they exploit matchups. Like, they're freshmen, right? He's not really a freshman. He's not a true freshman. His name is Amari Spellman. Like, he's 20 years old, right? He's a redshirt freshman. He's 20 years old. He'll be 21 in October, all right? So he's really not a freshman. But, like, he's not that big. He's maybe 6'5", right? Or whatever he is. Or 6'6",
mm-hmm.
But he always gets, like, double-digit rebounds. He plays bigger than his size. He could go inside, and he could shoot from the outside, too. He could also hit the three if it's there. He didn't make one of tonight's game, but, like, that he could also take you off the dribble. So they have those kind of players. Like, they just know how to, like, spread teams out and just get the matchups that they want. And that
right.
works. It works.
It does work.
Like, I mean, DiVincenzo, right? He's not the biggest guy, but he's taller than the McNamara. I mean, McNamara was a midget compared to this guy, right? So DiVincenzo, he's a sophomore, right? I think he's a redshirt sophomore because I think he transferred over originally. And he'll be a junior next year, right? He's a 6'5". He's 6'5", JPJ, so 6'5 guard, right? 200 pounds. So he's strong. He's tall. He's lanky. So, but, like, he's also, like, sneaking fast because he has, like, a dribble hesitation. So he just every time he was in the game, they just used him, right? Because Brunson didn't get it going. And, like, he just was on fire, right? Like, the first three that he put up, right, it was pretty considerable distance. He just drained it. And both, you know, me and my dad were watching it, and we were just thinking. And when I went down, I was like, it's like that. And then the next one, he makes the next one off of the screen. And then once he's making a couple, right, you know what he's going to do next, right? He's going to use his dribble and get to the basket and score on layups. So, because now they have to guard him that forever, he's going to use that dribble, and he's just going to go around you. So he just destroyed them. They couldn't match up with him. He's too fast. They're just a very smart coach team. And, you know, they're not a deep team, but Jay Wright's really smart because, like, he makes good usage. You know how they have the timeouts every 4 minutes? So they have the timeouts every four. And you could take your timeout if you need one, if you feel like Michigan's making a push. Wright did that at one point. So he subs guys in and out. He doesn't play a big rotation, but, you know, Gillespie played 16 minutes. DiVincenzo played 37. And Brunson only played 28 because he was in foul trouble and only had scored a season low 9. Booth, who had a big game in the last game against Kansas, he had only 2 points. And Booth was a freshman, right, on their championship team against Carolina, scored 20. He led them in the points against Carolina in that classic game. Like, Pascal, right? Pascal scored 20-something in the last game. He only got 6 points. So it's like they just – like they balance it out, you know? Bridges was bad the whole tournament. Like, he still turned over the ball a few times today, but he had 19. And he likes that he if you give him the ball, like, in transition, that's when he hits his threes. He makes his threes, like, in transition at the top of the key. He likes that spot. And once he hit the first one, I knew the first one was going to go in, that he was going to make a couple more. That's the kind of player he is. So, and he wound up with 19. So you had two players, one with 31 and the other one with 19, and that's what? That's 50 of their points right there, John. So they didn't even need – they didn't need a big performance from Brunson, who missed a few easy shots. And, you know, it just wasn't the usual Brunson that we see, but he still was impactful. They didn't need a big game out of Spellman, but he still got his 11 rebounds and 8 points. So, and Pascal made one big three in the second half, which Villanova went from being up 9 to being up 15, and they stretched it out. And Michigan really needed to come out and play a strong early, like, first 4 minutes, but they couldn't match them. So, you get what you get. You mentioned the 3-point shot, right? So Villanova shot 37%.
Shots on
three. Yeah. 10 for 27 tonight, the Wildcats. I think I said that they weren't going to be able to match what they did against Kansas. And, well, against Kansas, they set a tournament record with 18 threes, 18 made threes. They couldn't miss in that game. And they scored 95 points. Yeah, Kansas is still giving up open shots right now at last check. Bill Self is still wondering what to do. All right, but his team was just not good. Duke would have given Villanova a better game, I think, but they don't play much D either. So I think I would have been wrong about that game, actually. No, I think about it. I had Duke and Villanova in the Final Four. Duke wound up losing to Kansas in overtime. I was this close to picking Villanova.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, I was like, boy, that's going to be an interesting game. It didn't come down. And, well, this one guy had a really good game for Michigan. He's got a cool name, actually. You want to know what his name is?
What's his name?
He's Muhammad Ali Abdur Rahman. That's his real name.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got the Muhammad Ali name. He had 23 points. He's a senior. He was the one guy who was consistent in this game for them. Everybody else just they just couldn't get it going. I mean, if you have a player like Di Fatezzo, I mean, who just does whatever he wants to do, and your best player is struggling, like Xavier Simpson is their best player, I think. Although lots of Michigan fans would probably say Wagner, right? I guess he's Swedish. He's either Swedish or German, because it's spelled Wagner. But and he was awesome in the last game, and he started out really good in this game, but he got tired, and that's the problem. Like, yeah, he's a tall guy, you know. He's not the fastest guy. He exerts a lot of energy on offense. He was exerting a lot of energy to try to drive the ball, and he's more of a he could spot. The thing with that guy is he could spot up and shoot the three. So I thought he could do well in this game, but he got tired. He got tired from guarding, and his shot started to come up short in the second half. So he only scored 4 points, JPG, after the break. So, I mean, he wound up with 16, yeah, and 12 came in the first half. So he got tired, and they didn't get enough points from Simpson. So, I mean, there was only one player who was really bringing it for them, and they needed a lot more. He needed a lot more from Simpson. Simpson bought up with 10. He had 8 in the second half, but he only had 2 assists. And they turned over the ball, you know, a little bit too much. And they had, you know how many points Michigan had in this game?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll give you a hint here. By himself, Di Fatezzo had 31 points. It's a record. It's a championship record, right? How many points do you think Michigan got off the bench
out of
their 62 points? It's a low number, JPG. I'm going to give you a chance to guess.
Okay.
So the starters,
5 points.
The starters did a good portion of their scoring. How many points do you think they got off the bench out of the 62?
5 points. 5 points.
Close. 7 points.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They were outscored 31-7 by that one player, by Di Fatezzo. The overall total was 35-7 because Gillespie came off the bench, gave them some minutes, 4 points, and 5 rebounds. So they did not get points off the bench. And the Michigan Wolverines, DPG, they took 23 threes and made only 3. So it's a big difference right here in that percentage. So, you know the interesting thing in watching this game?
What is the interesting thing?
Di Fatezzo wasn't all that good at the free throw line. He missed, like, I think 3 or 4. I think he missed 3 on the free throw line. Money from 3. He was 5 for 7 from 3. He had a better percentage from 3-point land than he did from the free throw line. I just found that odd. And Michigan couldn't make a free throw either, so... Like, that wasn't helping them, but I thought it could be a close game. I was wrong, and I guess I was wrong about this whole tournament. I'm not blaming it on myself, though. I'm not going to blame it on myself.
Oh, of course not.
I'm going to blame it on 2 people, actually. You're going to like this, actually. Number one.
Blame away.
I'm blaming it on Bill Walton. That's the first one. Because Bill Walton, I listened to the pregame, and Bill Walton was all excited, pumped up, excited, kept talking about how he was hoping to see an overtime game. I was hoping to see it too, but it just never happened, never materialized. He jinxed Michigan. The second person I'm blaming is Rob Davis, because Rob Davis,
of course,
was so into Michigan winning the game, and then he fell asleep. So. Michigan, he must have known Michigan was toast.
Oh, Rob Davis.
So I don't, I'm guessing, what did you do tonight? What did you do tonight? Tell me what you did. What happened at the Gene Oriole
Pit? I fell asleep too.
Oh, God.
Watching a bunch
of... You didn't
want to
watch college basketball.
I watched some of the... I watched some of the Michigan versus Loyola game, and it reminded me of why I hate college basketball. And, yeah, I was happy not to watch it tonight.
What did you like about that game? Aside from
just
the fact
the
that...
Total, the total lack of skill involved in the college game.
Okay. All right. Yeah, all right. I guess you should have watched Villanova. They're pretty fucking skilled.
I'm told that basketball is supposed to be about posting up. So I don't think I would have liked this Villanova team.
Rob's pretending that he's sleeping. I mean, you know what? I don't even know what to say right now. What's the next Rockhead?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. You rage about the 3-point shot, so I figure this might be an emotional night for you.
Nah, it's not. I mean, it's Villanova. I like Villanova. I like the way they play. The only time I don't like them is when they play St. John's. Like, I have nothing against Villanova. I'm not like Brian. I'm not like Brian David. I'm not always angry and raging against rivals.
only when it comes to the NBA.
You know what? Who are the Rockets? What's going on with the Rockets? I thought you had the schedule on your refrigerator.
Believe it or not, I do not have the schedule on my refrigerator.
I can't believe that. I mean, is it true that you have like a picture of Harry Irving on your refrigerator with like a dart thing, a dart target?
No, like I have a milk carton with his face on it though.
Oh God! I think you should have saved that for Kawhi Leonard, because like he took the night off of the Alamo though, apparently, he missed the championship game.
He's on vacation.
Yeah, he quit on his team, man. I mean, how do you quit on your team?
He needed a vacation, man.
We all need vacation, but like, I mean, come on. I mean, how much vacation do you need?
He needs a lot.
Oh man, you know what? You need vacation. You need a vacation.
I need a vacation from
March weather, from the odd March weather that's continuing in this city. I don't understand what's going on. At all. You're welcome.
I know.
Oh, by the way.
I'm welcome for what?
Charles Barkley said what I thought he was going to say.
What?
Like, what's next? The 76ers are going to win the championship. The 76ers are going to win the NBA championship. I mean,
really?
I mean, why not? Philadelphia's on a roll. They can't lose. They don't have to use a fictional character. They don't have to use a fictional character anymore. You know, Rocky or whatever. They got Villanova Wildcats. They got the Eagles. And I think the 76ers could be next. Hell, the
You're
Philadelphia
fired up
Flyers
for this,
could be,
dude.
Hey, the Philadelphia Flyers could make a run at the Cup.
Yeah, they could.
Careful. Oh, man. What is going on? 424-675-8226. It is Hard Hits. It is Felix and Gianorio, Flex and JPG together again as we talk the end of the NCAA, AA, whatever you want to call it, the National Corrupt Asshole Association is over with. For another year, at least. Until we find out more about, the cheater, Sean Miller, or Sean Killah. March Sadness is over, officially. Congratulations.
It is OVA.
It is finally OVA. Season OVA. But, and that's it. One shining moment. And no, I was kind of surprised. Sister G did not make one shining moment. I thought they should have shown Sister G's. I guess they gave her too much airtime. So they decided
she got a lot of airtime.
She did get a, you know what? For a 19-year-old lady, though, she had so much knowledge, JPG. Really something. I mean, like, she was really smart. She has, like, a lot of, she has her wits. Man, you know, if I live to be that old, right, God willing, I probably will not be able to, like, function. I'll just be making all weird faces at you in a hospital, probably.
the mental asylum for our Uses.
That's right. I'll be in, you know, I'm going to be in one, so we both know it. We've concluded it, basically. I got Rob Davis. Rob Davis is telling me that he's such a nutcase, right? Like, his Devils are this close, right, to clinching a playoff spot. And I had him on last night, and that was an amusing show. And he's like, the Panthers were able to eke out a win against the Carolina Hurricanes, like a team they should have beat up. They beat them by one goal. And he's like, they're going to choke. The Panthers are going to win tomorrow, and the Devils are going to lose to the Rangers, who are playing like their AHL team, and it's going to be down to 3 points. Like, Rob Davis is looking for ways for the Devils to blow it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to be wrapped up tomorrow. I think that the Devils kick the crap out of the Hartford Wolfpack, because that's what the Rangers will be tomorrow. No Jesper Fast and no Bat Zuccarello. It will be the Hartford Wolfpack. So I'm thinking final score 6-1 Devils. 6-1 Taylor Hart, Halls, and Kincaids. And the Nashville Predators will beat the Florida Panthers, who are not all that good. And the Devils fans will rejoice and celebrate their Stanley Cup.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, no, Devils it's fans. Not really their Stanley Cup, but beating the Rangers and advancing to the playoffs on the same day, which could happen, would be very sweet for Devils fans. They like that. They like that. They're very obsessed with it. You know, it's a fascination of theirs. By the way, you want to know what was a bad job today? I mean,
I want to know everything, sir.
The New York Yankees postponing their opening day game because of a little snow. Hello. I mean, it was nice and sunny by 2 o'clock today. I went outside, and by 4 o'clock, it was beautiful out. They could have played the game. They could have played the game and started at 4 o'clock, but no. The New York Yankees decided they had to. The New York Yankees decided, JPG, that they had to postpone it. Postpone it and make it for Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And when guess what they're predicting for today? Rain.
What?
So there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to play this game. So, because it's supposed to rain. I would have played it yesterday. I would have just moved it back. They had beat writers, though, right? So the people, the reporters who cover them, you know, they get up early. They drove out to the stadium really early this morning, you know, dealing with the traffic. And then they get there, and then they're told that it's postponed, and they went home. I mean, how would you feel if you were them? Like, they
pretty
took
enraged.
The time to get there. Enraged infatuation?
Yeah.
Still have that somewhere. I have a printout of it, actually, from the AOL days.
I love that song.
It was an enraged infatuation. Enraged infatuation. I love how Brian Sefford has now changed it to me. Yeah, we traded places, actually. I used to be Brian when I got out of college. And Brian used to be me.
I don't understand.
I used to work in the city, and I used to not get home until like 7:30, 8 o'clock sometimes. And I'd come home from work, right? And this is when the Rangers sucked. I'd come home all bad. And I would say, I'd be all pissed off. Like, how could they be so bad? Like, I worked hard. I worked hard. How come they can't work hard? And so they used to, like, make fun of me. Derek works hard, so he deserves to see a winning team or whatever. You can see me doing
Derek
it.
Derek works hard. Of course I can see you doing that. Yeah, of course I can.
Oh, my God. I mean, so
one
now
tiny moment,
Brian,
Mr. Felix.
Brian turned it against me. I mean, because now, I mean, Brian saying, I get up at 4 a.m. and your show is catered to a late start, catered to basement times.
Yeah, indeed, it is.
It's, you know what? Wait a second. I started this show at 9:30 his time. But no, he busted up at 4 o'clock. And remember
that is his job.
remember last week, I did a long show, right? A baseball show with Colin. A long 3-hour show. And all of a sudden I'm hearing, oh, Derek's starting at too early a time. He's doing weird times for his show. Or whatever. You guys were mocking me. Because I didn't,
of course.
I didn't start it when I normally start it. And all of a sudden, I get a message from Brian. I demand the show. Like JP is telling me, Brian demands the show. Then I'm getting a message from Brian. I want a show now.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with this?
11 o'clock now. I want a show.
I want it now. Give me a show.
I gave in, man. It's a peer pressure.
As you should. You should give in.
I mean, what? You can't give in.
No, Derek. Derek, if you don't give in, then I'm going to, I don't even know.
Brian David needed a show. They just did one. He needed a show. What the hell's going on? I mean,
Brian David is a very noble man.
Well, you know what I called the show? It's like ESPN, and it got 7 listens.
Oh, boy.
See what happens when Derek Felix listens? The
chaos. When Derek Felix goes anti-ESPN.
Even though he loves
watching 30 for 30, he can't stop watching 30 for 30.
The 30 for 30s are not like ESPN.
ESPN, though. No, they're ESPN.
Yeah, but they're well made. You know, like some, they're like not everything they do.
They're not
well horrible.
Made. They're not well.
Oh God! You just say that because you don't like Bill Simmons.
My name is Bill Simmons, and I am ESPN 30 for 30.
Bill Simmons is just another asshole. Like Mike Lupica. This is why Lupica's obsessed with the Red Sox and won't say anything about their
payroll.
Lupica
is from Massachusetts?
He went to Boston College. If you
Oh, wow.
Reaches,
I didn't know this.
Dude, he used to use, and he still does it, and it's embarrassing. Like, whenever the Rangers would make their runs, he would reference the fact that the Rangers had Boston College players, and that was part of the reason why they were having success, because of Boston College players. Like, could you just stop it already? It's a team fucking sport. Where's Henrik Lundqvist from? He's not from America, man. He's from Sweden. You asshole. He probably couldn't name like any other Rangers aside from Lundqvist. I don't know. I mean, really, who else could he have named on the teams? Maybe Rick Nash. Wait, Lupica know anything about Canadians? Oh wait, probably not. Oh, God. Liberal Lupica. I mean, Lupica never covered hockey. He was kind of like the Mike Francesa. He's the Mike Francesa of the Daily News. That's hockey, you know? At least Francesa would put guys, every time the Raiders had runs, he'd put Pierre McGuire on. He'd put guys on and give it coverage. But no. No. Hockey is terrible. War. Only 94.
I'm glad you understand.
Only 94 is relevant.
That's right.
Well, I have to, although I have to give Francesa some credit. He was the one radio guy, even though he wasn't a hockey guy, who always like put Mula Barella on and called him like the greatest executive ever. Like he always put Barella on to recognize the championships that the Devils won and the job that he did. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because they don't get any respect on the radio airwaves, really. Nobody talks about them. Nobody. I could do a show right now, right? A Devils theme show by a Rangers host. And it would do much better. It would actually be a better show than anything that WFAN has. WFAN is supposed to be broadcasting some of their games. Like, but you want to hear something interesting?
Always.
Like, a lot of their games have not been on WFAN airwaves, and they've had shows on instead. Like, what is that? Like, the Devils are trying to make the playoffs for the first time. What kind of respect is that? That's not professional. Does that sound respectful to you?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's like, if I were the Devils, I'd be like, enough of this shit. We're getting our own radio station, and we're leaving. But they can't do it because they don't – I don't think they get ratings. I think that's one of the reasons they haven't been putting them on as much. But you know what their ratings probably are for the Nets games? Oh, my God. They're probably worse. The next games have got to be worse.
Probably.
Yeah, it's got to. It probably is. But I just want to say shame on the Yankees. Do you know that 22 years ago, right? 22 freaking years ago, I went to opening day at Yankee Stadium. It was 33, 34 degrees. Me and my best friend, Ivan Texler, the biggest Yankee fan I know, we took the ferry, we took the bus, we took the ferry. We did whatever we did. We took the 4 train. And we made it out to Yankee Stadium. At the stadium, we sat on the right field upper deck seats. It was cold. It was really cold. It was snowy. And we toughed it out for 9 innings. And they won the game. And that was the start of the beginning in a special year. And they defeated the Kansas City Royals. They were awful. They had, like, Felix Jose. I think he was, like, he had Felix Jose, and I think Jose Offerman were on their team. But, yeah. And you know what happened? Because we went to that game. The New York Yankees, because we went to a snow game, gave us a choice of a couple of games to pick from to get a free game. And I said, let's go to the Mariners game. Let's go see Ken Griffey and the Mariners at night. And we went to that game. I think it was in July. And Dwight Gooden pitched his no-hitter. We're at Dwight Gooden's no-hitter for free. And a guy by the name of Alex Rodriguez, in his first full year when he went berserk, probably should have won MVP. In the second inning, he hit a line drive, right? It might have been the first line drive that looked like it was definitely going to be a double or triple or even a home run. And Gerald Williams was playing center field instead of Bernie. He ran about 8 feet, put his glove up, and made an unbelievable catch to rock him. It was a great catch. Yeah, I linked it up in the chat yesterday. I'll probably link it up after. It's actually on YouTube. Like, sometimes you can't find all clips, but this one's on there because it was that good. And it was Sock Night, and Dwight Gooden pitched a no-hitter. Yeah, 10 years after helping the Mets be in their ace on Coke, winning the World Series. And he was part of the Yankees championship that year. So, and that was the only great game I went to that year. Darryl Strawberry had a 3-home run game against the White Sox. See? And Darryl Strawberry, I went to the Darryl Strawberry 3-home run game. I was there.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome times.
Your White
man.
Sox, man.
They beat the White Sox. He beat the crap out of the White Sox. And I drank some beers with my coworkers from the JCC days.
Nice.
Because that's what I was there with. We sat I remember who we sat. That time we were like on the first base side in the upper deck. Yeah, we were on the first base side. Yeah. Those were pretty good seats. Normally when I went to games, I sat behind the plate all the way up where Fuzzy was. You know about Fuzzy, right? Fuzzy.
I do know about Fuzzy. I know about Fuzzy.
He passed away.
I know.
Yeah, that was really sad. You know what, though? I mean, everybody knows who he is. He was a super fan. A nice guy, too. He had this engaging personality, right? He was just home court, right? You'd go to the Ranger game, and this was before they turned it into a zoo. With
the world's most renovated arena?
Yes. Yeah. So you, after intermission, right, we come out, he would hold court by the escalator. He'd just be ranting about stuff. It was great. Just imagine this guy, right, with the beard, the fuzzy beard, right, and he's just ranting about stuff. And this same guy was on the Stanley Cup video that they had saying, I want that cup. I want that cup.
You got that cup. You got that cup.
He did. He was the same guy that was at the Yankee games. He was at the Yankee games. He was at those games. And me and Ivan used to go to games. But upper tier reserve cost like $12.50. I mean, you could spend $20 at a game. Well, yeah, maybe $22-$23 top, with actually $25 probably total with Subway tokens and stuff. And yeah, and that was your day. That was your Sunday or whatever. Man, it was pretty fun. But shame on the Yankees for not playing baseball. Oh my God, they were it melted. I mean, I don't know how many inches they really got up in the Fox, but come on, they could have played. You should have heard Farley Felix. He went on a rant about it. It was great, as only Farley Felix can do. Yeah, I mean. That's what happens when you put Flex and JPG back together. You know,
It's a dynamic duo.
We are. Although you should have heard Flex and Sandball were back together. It was an interesting night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's like that was our first show, right? Together. I don't know when the last time we actually did a show by ourselves, but you know what we are. We are the block talk version of Mike and the Mad Dog because we have that kind of chemistry. I mean, we do have that going for us. So, I mean, but, so, I was reading some tweets before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I already... draft the Yankees a lot already, four games in, so. But I read a tweet from a Cubs fan that I follow, but she's also a Blackhawks fan. And she asked a question about the Cubs. I just thought it was kind of interesting. I think it was like, has a baseball team, right? The Cubs are a really good baseball team. Has a team ever had a 2-year World Series hangover before? Asking for a friend.
It has been 5 whole games, so I totally see the need to panic.
Well,
totally appropriate. Well, I know you're going to advocate panicking.
Do you see Joe Paddock now? Joe Maddock Paddock? Is that what you're telling me?
I know you would probably advise Cubs fans to panic.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm not that way.
Yeah?
It's too early to panic. Yeah?
Indeed.
So, yeah, they lost some games probably, you know, that they probably should have lost, but who doesn't? I mean, everybody loses games. It happens. They got shut out by some guy on the Reds that I never heard of before. I don't know. What, they lose 1-0 yesterday? Well,
I mean, you seem on top of it. I don't know why you're asking me.
I get the Cubs updates, you know. And the funny thing about it, right? I didn't know they were playing during the day, but I only got one update from the Cubs game, and I was thinking to myself, and it just said Cubs lose to Reds, and I'm like, wait a second, they lost? Like, must have been an all-scoring game, because usually, you know, when you get Cubs updates or you get updates from any baseball game, you're expecting multiple updates, and there wasn't any of them. So, I was surprised a little.
Time for some panic. Time to panic.
Time to have a panic attack?
Time to have a panic attack. Yeah.
It might be.
You should panic, baby.
I'm not panicking. Although, when you listen to the sports radio here, I mean...
You were panicking about Aaron Boone.
I just said what was natural, that, you know, you can't always go by the statistics or the matchups based on the charts or stats or whatever they had there. I thought, you know, if you have Justin Smoke, who just hit a home run and smoked the ball in the last inning, you're leading by 3 runs. You have Robinson. It was Robinson's choice, too. But I think Donaldson wasn't swinging the bat. He has, like, a little bit of a bum shoulder. I probably would have pitched Donaldson and not walked him and not put the winning run at the plate. But like smoke the bat and smoke one. And it was a bad decision, you know. Just like it was a bad decision to give pitch Patassas 2 innings early in the year. Didn't make a lot of sense. He gave up a leadoff bomb to Sorathe in the second inning. And then he got embarrassed. Did you see what happened to him in the game on Saturday? Do you even know?
No, I did not. Mm-mm.
So he imploded after the home run, right? Kevin Pillar, right? He singled. He stole second. He stole third. And he stole home against Patassas. And I listened to it. I was listening to the game, and I was thinking to myself, this is just brutal. He stole home. It's Sterling, right? He sounded so confused. He sounded about as confused as I did listening to it, you know? Like, it was like, he threw it away or something, and it was just like, how the hell could he have stole home? Like, all you got to do is make this complete the throw. Oh, God. And, like, I was listening to it, and I was thinking, something's going to happen here, you know? He gave up 5 bases in the edit. Oh, man. It's been 4 games. So, hey, the Blue Jays won again today. The Blue Jays PGs won.
You sound very happy and excited about this.
I am, actually. It involves your team.
Why?
So,
what team is that?
The Blue Jays PGs.
Why are they my team again?
Because they're appropriately named, the Blue Jays PGs.
Oh, so you just decided they were my team?
I just decided that you like them for some reason. I don't know. Yeah.
I did support them against the Royal Crown a few years ago. So.
You did? Yeah, so you supported your boy David Price.
Why didn't I just understand the Royal Crown deserved to win?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't answer these questions, you know. I may be a smart guy, but I can't figure out the likes of me why you turned on David Price.
Because David Price is a Red Sox now.
So you can't, that's it. The tea's a chowder.
I can't support anyone on one of Derek's core 4 teams. How are the Royals doing?
Hey,
this year, by the way?
Rob was all excited about the Orioles already.
When was Rob ever excited about the Orioles? Where does this come from?
You always get inspired. Like, it's like you two drive each other. When the Orioles have some big wins early and start good, guys, what are you making?
What are you talking about?
Just think, you know, this show could turn into Ivis in the Morning. I'll just do it for like the next like 30 years. We'll still be arguing. We'll still be having the same arguments. We'll still be having the same arguments, man. And I'll be like in my 60s, because this show been on the air for a while, on and off. So, but
do you have any final thing? I really don't.
Do you have any final shots on what you've heard? With 30 seconds on the live board.
So I just want to say, we get a lot of talk about how bad the Rockets are, how James Harden doesn't deserve the MVP, all this crap. But then when push comes to shove, Derek is there supporting a Villanova team that plays the same way the Rockets do. That's all I want to say.
All right, I'm going to give you a beer guzzle for that. Yeah, I think you deserve it. Congratulations on your beer guzzle. You definitely deserve it. Tune in to our next show, you losers. If anybody does.
You lunatic.
All right, this is Lunatic Fridge alert. So this is Derek Felix and John G. Dorian. It is Hard Hits. It is overtime. In overtime, JPG.
Welcome to overtime, sir.
Anything goes in overtime. So you just never know what you're going to get.
Let's have some overtime.
Good? You're excited about this?
Mm-hmm.
Where should we go first? I know.
How about the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
You know what?
Clinching the Pacific.
They got home ice advantage, baby. That's right. You know.
I'm an expert in Golden Knights.
They deserve a shout out for what they've been able to do so far. One of their players, right? I don't know if you know this. I know you probably not watching much hockey, but William Karlsson, he was a fourth liner on John Tortorella's team, whose previous career high was like 6 goals and 20 points last year. JPG, he's a first line center this year. He has 42 goals this year. 42 in 1 year. And he's like he's a plus 46 or 47. Wow, I mean, it's like, and he scored this goal, right? He scored one of the best goals I've ever seen, right? So, I'll tell you what happened. He got a breakaway. He got this breakaway, scored a goal. The goalie went for a poke check, which makes it hard for the guy on the breakaway to score, and almost got the puck. He scored the goal between his legs. It's one of the best goals of the season, okay? The execution to do that, especially with the goalie going for the poke check, because it sticks out and the puck's there at the same time, it was awesome, JPG. I mean, you know what it was? The excellence of execution right there. It was basically Bret Hart. Yeah, I mean, this is the William Karlsson. There's a gif of it. And I'm going to show you the William Karlsson goal because it was a highlight reel goal. It's one of the best goals that I've ever seen. I've seen a couple of players pull
off. Are
you
talking about the one where he went, like, behind the back or whatever?
Yes. Oh, you know about it.
I saw it.
Were you with Brian when you saw it at the bar or something? When did you see it?
No, I went to a birthday party after I met up with Brian.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That's right. We have to go to a birthday party. How was that?
Yeah. It was solid. They were watching hockey. You would have loved it. And they were smoking.
Really?
They're smoking. They're smoking up, too, yeah.
Smoking. You know what? That would have been very cool.
Yeah, I think you would have fit in well at this party.
You know what? I could fit in any party. You know that. Yeah.
That is true.
So, what'd you think about the goal? I thought it was pretty awesome myself.
It was a nice goal, man.
Yeah. Did you see the Crosby goal where he, like, Crosby scored this goal where he, like, against the Devils, where he hit the post in overtime and then he swung baseball bat style opening day, right? Opening night, and connected with his hockey stick for a winning goal. you hear about that
Holy
one?
Holy crap. No, I didn't.
Dude, Sidney, you know, I criticize Crosby a lot because sometimes he does do things that are, sometimes he complains about stuff, but when you talk about skill, right? Nobody has better skill, hand-eye coordination, than Sidney Crosby ever in the game of hockey. I think the only guy who had the hand-eye coordination of him is Gretzky. Those are the best two that I can think of.
How many cups does Sidney Crosby have these days?
He's got three. He's got three.
Wow. That's a lot, man.
The Pens are trying to become the first team to three-peat the New York Islanders.
Oh, they could three-peat this year. Wow.
He could three-peat. Dude, it hasn't been done since the New York Islanders between 1980 and 83 when they won four championships in a row. Like,
so is Crosby still the best player?
Is he still the best player? Crosby?
Is he still the best? Yeah.
I still say he's the best. Some people would say that Connor McDavid's passed him because he's more explosive and now he's going to win the scoring title again. But he plays on Edmonton, and they suck this year. And if he's in the, if he's actually in the top three for the Hart Trophy, that would be a joke. I think that Taylor Hall should win the Hart Trophy. More than
Taylor
McKinnon.
Hall.
Taylor Hall's the star for the Devils. He's been carrying them. I think that, wow, how many points does he have? The record, the Devils' record, right? The Devils' franchise record for points in a single season is held by Patrick Elias. Okay. Patrick Elias, of course, is the all-time scorer, the all-time leading scorer for the Devils. He has the most goals, the most assists, the most points. He just had his number 26 retired this year. Remember I got all excited and showed you the picture of Brodeur? That was from that ceremony.
I do remember that, yeah.
That was from the ceremony. So, but nobody has ever had... Yeah, it was actually really nice. It was a great ceremony. I watched it with my dad. We like watching the retirements. It's pretty cool.
But you love retirements, so...
Well, I like the whole thing. I like the whole thing. Taylor Hall, right, has 89 points. 89 points, he has 37 goals, 52 assists. He has so many more points than the next player, who's a rookie, Nico Hischier. Like, he has to be in the MVP running. He should be in. He should definitely finish in the top three for this award. He's not going to probably get to 96 points. I think they only have three games left. But he could probably get 5 points tomorrow against the Rangers. Because they're playing their AHL team, basically. So maybe Taylor Hartwell could have like a 5-point game. This is why I'm retired from hockey right now. I'm retired from hockey.
I don't know if I like Ranger elimination, Derek. I got to be honest with you.
I'm not angry. I've embraced
you
it.
You seem a little angry.
What makes me angry? How do you describe angry Derek?
Angry Derek is obsessed with, like, March baseball, is saying that Aaron Boone's, like, a bad hire and a bad style already.
Yeah.
Deny it. Yeah. You didn't deny it.
What do I have to be angry about? I don't know.
Aaron Boone? You were angry about Aaron Boone.
Yeah, no, I'm angry at my health insurance right now for not putting my insurance card. I had to pay $69 out of pocket for my two meds today. That's aggravating.
Holy crap, man.
Holy crap is right. I mean, what the fuck is going on, man? All right, so the season that Elias put the 96 points off was 2000-2001. That, ironically, guess who was actually working Devil's Home production truck that year?
You!
That's right. Correct. That's also the season I wound up at ESPN first time. And
oh,
I got my laptop. And I got my laptop ripped off in a Motel 6. I love that machine. You know how much that machine cost me?
How much?
$2,000.
Wow. Yeah, those were the days, man.
Dude, that machine though, that's the best laptop ever. That's the best laptop ever. It only lasted me the whole playoff run. And then I was about to get, I was finally about to, like, I was basically, like, done, right? I was a few days away from leaving, and I come back, I get a dinner at 7 o'clock, and my laptop's not there. I didn't check until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, because I was watching Devil's Maple Leafs. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
They stole my laptop. Oh, God, what a nightmare that was. I was up until, like, 2:30 in the morning talking to police. They did nothing for me. I mean, God almighty.
Yeah,
you think they had some
not.
Cameras? You think they had some cameras? No. Jesus Christ, the subject of the police. What a joke that whole thing was. I mean, you had to have cameras. You had to know. I mean, it doesn't just vanish by itself. I should have, oh, man, I took the chance. Oh, God. I was that close to coming home, man. I'm still convinced I never would have had another laptop. That's how great a piece of hardware that was. It was that good.
Yeah, but yeah. Now you do have another laptop, and you love it, right?
I don't have another laptop right now. It's out of commission.
What happened? Well, what happened to your laptop?
I don't even know. Like, I think a screen, something went wrong with the screen, and I just gave up on it. I don't know.
Man, you and J&F, man, you have like the worst luck with computers.
We do. You know what? The crazy thing is, I do everything off my phone right now. I was so
excited. You write the blogs and stuff.
I can write the blogs off. I write the blogs off here too.
On the WordPress app, right?
I got the WordPress app, man. Yeah.
Nice, dude.
I can still do stuff. I mean, I'm still able to execute and do what I want. So, I mean, when I do have the money saved up and I get something, I'm going to start doing a YouTube channel. I'm going to start doing some YouTube broadcasts. Who knows? Maybe we could expand. We could turn Hard Hits into an internet phenomenon. Oh my God!
Yeah, why not? You should get Madeline Miller to be your co-host.
Madeline Miller, we probably get into so many disagreements about things.
Like, yeah, but that's what the audience loves—is fighting.
Sometimes some of the things she tweets, like I just like what, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. She's only 22. She doesn't know all these things. She doesn't know everything about sports. Like, so it's like. I remember what it was like to be out of college and be like that. You don't know everything. You just can't. You can't know everything.
That's what this would be a great. This would be a great premise for a show. You and Madison Miller. You're like the wise, grizzled old sports fan. She's like the crazy.
Predicting Aaron Judge to win a Triple Crown. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. Because he's never going
to explain to her that Rob Craves Davis has already told us Aaron Judge is not good.
Oh boy. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know how well that's going to go over, though. Yeah, see, there it is. God almighty. I'll tell you the truth. The 2000-2001 Devils were better than the 1999-2000 Devils. They should have won and repeated as champions. But
yeah.
You know what happened to that team? They got by on their talent.
No clue.
They got by on their talent. That's how they were winning games. And that's why they lost the series to the Avalanche. Yeah. That was Martin Brodeur's worst moment as a goalie. He lost to his
really?
Own. Yep, he lost to Patrick Waugh.
His one shining moment?
Well, losing to Patrick Waugh. I mean, I don't know. That was a weird series. And I was rooting for the Devils.
You were? Wow. Close. What happened?
Well, you have to remember, I work for the production truck. So it's like when you work with people, like you get closer to the team and you start pulling for them. So I was pulling for them.
You betrayed the New York Rangers.
Ah, The New York Rangers weren't even on the map at that time. They were so bad. They were in America.
Really? Are they going back to those days?
Weird, man, but you would think I would have hated the fact that we missed the playoffs all those times, but yeah, it was tough. You know what the hard part was? Going to the home games. Going to the home games and getting eliminated every year, whether it was by the Devils, having a Devil fan come up to you and say, I feel sorry for you guys. Like in your own building, having Devil fans take over your building or losing to the Islanders or, I mean, all sorts of, like, embarrassed or getting embarrassed, losing 7-0 to the Atlanta Thrashers or even a franchise anymore. Got relocated to Winnipeg, beat by 7-0 by Atlanta at home. Going to a home opener, right, where nobody scored. Not one fucking team scored in the 2003 home opener, which coincidentally was the same day, same fateful day that the Yankees were playing the ALCS Game 7 against the Red Sox. And back then, the Garden actually put some of the game on their big screen when everybody could see. They saw Giambi hitting a home run. They saw Giambi. We hit home run. It went down 4-2. And they shut it down. So we stayed until like the fifth inning. And then they shut it down. And then we went to our car and listened to the rest of it. And it hurt. When Ortiz hit his home run, I was just like, oh, God. This is not good. You know. And then they made their comeback. And then they tied the fucking game up and we got off the exit. When we got off the exit and we were going around, Posada had already tied the game up.
Oh, God.
Got back just in time for Aaron Boone's home run. It was unbelievable. So we went from a 0-0 hockey game, one of the worst games ever, a 0-0 tie between the Rangers and Thrashers, to an unbelievable moment with the Yankees that I'll never forget. So that all happened on the same night. Okay.
Aaron bleeping Boone, right?
Aaron bleeping Boone. That's right.
And now he's your manager. That's nuts, man. Where does the time go?
They place you went. I don't know. I mean, you've been all over the map. You're like the most traveled. You're the most well traveled person I know.
I was in high school back when Aaron Boone did his thing.
Yeah, you were a senior in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian David. Except when Brian David makes undocumented appearances to Vegas.
Yeah, how come you didn't answer our text or pick up our call?
I didn't even. What? Wait a second. Brian, I think Brian tried to call me once.
I called, tried to call you too.
I don't remember getting a call from you. That's very odd. You know what? This was like only a few days ago, right?
Yeah.
I tried calling you. You know what? You did call me. I tried calling you back, but it was too late.
Yeah. We were trying to get a hold of you, Roos.
I didn't even realize. You know what? When Brian calls, I just think, well, it's Brian. It's probably nothing. You know, it's like it didn't dawn on me. I wasn't looking at my text messages. I didn't look at my texts. You want the truth?
Why?
You want the
Why didn't you look at your text?
Sometimes I just don't. I don't know. I just do things that don't make sense. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes
yeah,
my mom bombards me. Sometimes my mom bombards me with texts, and I just don't want to see it. You know?
That I can understand.
Like,
Like,
I wasn't feeling well earlier, right? I made the mistake of telling her I wasn't feeling well, right? If I'm not feeling well, what do you think's wrong? When I'm not feeling well, what is it with me? Do you know what it is? If I'm not feeling well, what do you think's wrong with me?
You don't want to talk to your mom?
No, but if I say I'm not feeling well, right? Why wouldn't I feel well?
Anxiety?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, exactly. See, you're smart. And I'm like, it's like she can't figure it out. She's like she knew that like I didn't pick my bed up right away because I didn't want to pay. from my other medicine that was the same dosage saved. So I wasn't feeling well, you know? I just hadn't been feeling, I hadn't been feeling good the last couple of days, but like today I wasn't really feeling that good. But it's like all of a sudden, like I get one phone call, like when I feel like that, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know? I just don't have the strength, you know, to talk.
I understand.
I'd rather just stay online and chat and just watch the game, you know? Because that helped me. It helps distract me. It helped me, actually. Putting the game on helped me. So it's like he calls to call me 9,000 times. Then all of a sudden my dad gets phone calls. He gets texts. I'm getting texts. What's wrong? You know, it's like I just said I can't talk right now. I'm not feeling well. I mean, and I said I'll be okay, but I need to be alone. You know, it's like what's wrong? Do you need a doctor? It's like chill out.
You need Dr. Hoskin.
Maybe I do. Maybe I fucking do. I mean, I don't know. What I do know is that it's like being in a dark. It's like being in darkness. You just can't get out of it. You know, it's like a dark hole. Like you feel like you're alone when it's like that. So. That's where I was before.
You know, we're always here for you, man.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And I know where my mom's coming from. Like, I'm not dying, you know? I'm not. God willing. I am not dying. I'm going to be okay. Yeah? I am going to be okay. It's like, I know what's wrong. It's not easy.
It's not, but you got to get through it.
Yeah, of course you got to get through it. But I know that I will, so, and I do. I mean, God, where have those times gone, man?
I don't know, dude.
And then we argue about stats and three-point shots and the Rockets, James Harden.
Yeah, I don't understand why you hate the Rockets so much.
I don't hate the Rockets.
Is this about Mike D'Antoni?
Mike D'Antoni is not even on my radar screen anymore.
It'd be nice if he won, you know?
Yeah. D'Antoni, I guess. I don't care. It doesn't really matter.
It don't matter. Ooh, Toronto versus Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah. I got a text from my friend, actually. My friend, he is a big Boston Celtics fan. Timmy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right. I told you about Timmy. Yeah, me and him go back.
Tim who?
Tim Amos.
Nice.
We worked at the JC camp together. The first time I met him, he challenged me to a 3-point shooting contest. We were both like in the ninth grade or eighth grade or whatever. We tied 3 out of 10 in the corner.
Nice.
3 for 10. Yeah. He's got 2 beautiful sons. One is, I think, 9 or 10 already. Unbelievable. And the other one's, I think, 7. So. He sent me a text. The Celtics beat the Raptors, supposedly. That happens. I don't keep up. You know, I just haven't been keeping up with NBA. You know, I've just been distracted by college. That's true. They beat them. G.
Nice.
JPG. Yes. No.
D-flex.
Yeah.
Yes. No. What?
Did the Celtics lose to the? I mean, the Celtics beat the Raptors in a game recently. They played them over the weekend or something.
I have no idea, did they?
Supposedly. Yeah.
Oh,
I guess so.
You found box scores for this.
No, I was told. I didn't even know.
Where were the box scores hiding?
You know what? I'll just check it. I'll just check and see
one
what the
magic
hell the score
box
was.
Score. One magic box score. That should be the new song.
Well, the Celtics beat them pretty handily. They outscored them 28-15 in the fourth quarter. 110-99.
Well, maybe the Celtics are a better team without Kyrie.
I don't know. Yeah, that's right. It's down to two games. The Raptors are up by two games right now for the first play, first seed. DeRozan had a good game. Lowry had 11-9. So I guess he didn't shoot it that well. Who the heck is OG Anunoby? Who the fuck is that? Why did he start?
One of the wings. He's one of the wings. He always starts.
He starts. Where did they get this guy from?
He starts.
He's a
I don't know. I think they drafted him.
He's a British Nigerian professional basketball player. Whoa. Oh, he played for
Where are you getting this from?
I just Googled it. Listen to this. His height is 6'8", right? His wingspan, JPG, is 8 feet. He was That's freaking crazy. He was drafted the first round last year at 23rd overall. Well, this guy looks like he's a pretty good, like, he's like a guy that gets points and rebounds. He's like an energy guy. That's what it looks like here. So, looks like they might have found a steal. Okay. Well, that's not bad. I'm not bad to have a plugger like that. That's good. Right. Fred VanVleet. Remember Fred VanVleet for Wichita State? He's playing now. The backup point.
I do remember.
He does good for them off the bench. 11-3 off the bench in this game. Did well for the Celtics. Of course, Jason Tatum, one of the better rookies. Rozier is a young player, isn't he? Terry Rozier. Yeah, this guy's pretty good. He's 24 years old, right? That's right. He played for Louisville. I forgot that he played for them. This guy's been putting up good numbers. Terry Rozier. He's playing point right now for the Celtics.
Slick Rick.
Yeah, Slick Rick. Morris got 25 points off the bench in this game. Which one of that? Marcus or Markieff? Marcus. 25-9? JPG, that's pretty damn good. I don't know. Greg Monroe plays for the Celtics? When did this happen?
He got bought out.
I thought maybe he retired.
Oh, no. He's in, baby.
Jaylen Brown only had 4 points in this game. Then they have guys that they're getting contributions from that I can't believe. Yeah, I think Brad Stevens might be the best NBA coach right now. What do you think about that? Am I wrong to think that maybe this guy is a really good coach with what he's doing?
Oh, he's the greatest, baby.
Who's your favorite NBA coach? You probably don't have a favorite NBA coach, do you?
I like D'Antoni.
Okay. You like the Italian stallion?
I do.
All right. Guess that word. Pedigree.
Well, they never win in the playoffs, though.
So. How long has Brad Stevens been coaching them now? Is this his third year? Third year or fourth year? How long has he been there?
Oh, it's longer than that. I think it's like 5 years.
It might be, because he coached Butler. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is about 5 years, right? You know what the crazy part is?
What?
Me and Brad Stevens are the same age. We're exact same age.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, his birthday is October 22nd, one day before JNF, the same day as Colin. I think Colin's the 22nd also, right? Yeah. October 22nd, 1976. Me, I'm December 8th, 76. So, and this guy's been coaching for a long-ass time. He's built a career. Built a fucking career. He coached Butler. He was an assistant with them in 2001. And took over in 2007 and finished in 2013. And so that would mean that it is his fifth year. You're correct, JPJ. He went to 2 Final Fours. That's pretty fucking crazy. As was Butler coach. That's crazy. There are coaches, right, that had better talent, better conference that haven't done that, you know? Some guys just know how to coach. I mean, it doesn't matter what level it is. This guy knows how to coach basketball. I'm not saying that they're going to be successful, JPJ. I don't know. I'm not sold on them right now. I'm no selling them, okay?
Okay.
I am no selling them because I just don't know. I could see them getting picked off. I think? It depends on the matchups. I think they'll probably win a round. But, you know, no Kyrie, as much as you don't like him, it's probably going to hurt them. No Kyrie, no Hayward, probably going to hurt them. They probably can't get through a second round without those guys. That's what I would say in regards to him. Coaching record. The Celtics, right? His first year was terrible. They were 25-7. They were rebuilding, remember? 15, second in the Atlantic, 40-42. Lost in the first round. But 15-16, 48 wins. Second in Atlantic, lost in first round. Last year, 53 wins. First in Atlantic, lost in the conference finals, as we know, to the Cavs. So what will this year bring? What's this year going to bring, JPG? That's the question. That is the million-dollar question right now.
It's going to be interesting.
This guy is on the path, though. He's on the path to being a great coach. You know, he's got the resume. I mean, I can't stand looking at Popovich anymore now that I know what he is. I just can't take him. I can't take him anymore. He became what I hate. That's sad. You know, Pop is a great coach, JPJ. Take that away from
him. Yeah, I don't know if I really buy that anymore.
What do you think? He's overrated?
Look at how they are this year.
Well, one of their best players, if not the best player that they have, has quit on them. he quit. I hate to say it, as much as I like him as a player, he's quit. Can you explain that to me?
I was talking about his vacations last year, so.
You know, Popovich is almost 70, JPJ. How much longer is he going to do this for? I mean, he's done it all, you know? They've done it all.
I think it's over with this Spurs team. Honestly, at this point, I think Leonard's going to end up going somewhere else.
What else does Popovich have to accomplish? I mean, every year they're in the playoffs. Every year they win a nice amount of games. What else?
I think he should have just retired with Tim Duncan, man.
I agree with you. You know what? I don't know why Ginobili hung around. I can't really understand that either.
It's time for all of them to go.
Entering this year, JPG, right? He had won 1,150 games. He's got a 694 win percentage coming into this year. So, like, what else is there? I mean, what else is there? You know, is there someone that they could turn it over to? He also is doing that.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, and much like that, I think this show is dead. Is good, man. Tomorrow, baseball matters. We get back to baseball. I can make fun of the Yankees when their game gets rayed out or when they're rayed delayed for, like, on and off, and fans are upset about that. We could do a baseball show along with NBA.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do baseball, NBA, and a little NHL if Rob's Devils do what I think they're going to do. Maybe we'll do that as well. I'll try to aim. Yeah, I actually will target an aim where Brian David, if he wants, can be part of the show and not the Mantis.
Yeah, you should coordinate with him, dude. Yeah.
So if I could do a show at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, East 7:30 or 8 o'clock catered, I will do it. All right?
Beautiful.
Thank you, JPG, for being outstanding as always, bringing your unique elements to the show. I want to thank you, and have a good night in Vegas, son.
All right, Mr. F.
We'll see you all later, folks. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.